the request is that we we put the invitation first. It's not a matter to debate, it's a matter to be considered by the committee. I'm asking the secretary to schedule it so that we look at this and see if it is in the interest of this committee to undertake. In the spirit of avoiding a surprise attack, FACO, can we get somebody to read the invitation? We have found the invitation ngendlela ngendlela, but we found ngendlela enye. Funde no bala se pata.
Northwest Provincial Legislature, Office of the Chairperson, Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform, Cape Town. Dear Honorable P.S. Zani, invitation to consultative public hearings on the reversal of the legacy of the Native Land Act number 27 of 1913. The Portfolio Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development cordially invites the National Portfolio Committee to join us on the consultative public hearings and panel discussions on the reversal of the legacy of the Native Land Act number 27 of 1913. From the 2nd to the 3rd May 2013, the draft program has been attached for your convenience. Thank you.
Nando Faku. Nitini. Nitini Noyana. Noyana. End of West. Is a Faku.
It's a person, I don't see anything wrong with this invitation. Actually, this is what we are tasked to do as this committee. But I'm a bit confused because we had agreed that today we're supposed to be in Gauteng. And from Gauteng, I was to be in a group that was going to pay by there, another group was going to Northwest. How far is that?
Thank you very much. My word and our problem. Chairperson, I've got a problem with this because, as the Honourable Member and Dapane says, that there was a plan for us to go and roll out these visits to various provinces and have these debates and interaction with the public about the centenary commemoration of the 1913 Land Act. Then the communication to the committee at the end of last week was that these had been postponed because of instruction from the Chair of Chairs in Parliament, and that we would get further notice. Now, I heard yesterday that one of my colleagues in the Free State said that the meeting was going ahead in the Free State yesterday with the Portfolio Committee, with public hearings to take place in Bethlehem. Lady Brand on Thursday. So I was confused about that, so I phoned the committee secretary to find out what was happening, and her response was exactly that our participation in this program had been postponed by the Chair of Chairs, and that she said that if the various provinces wanted to continue, they would continue with their own budgets and their own programs. Now, when my colleague drove from Bethlehem to the legislature yesterday, he got there to be told that it had been postponed. So he travelled all the way there to be told it had been postponed, and so was the public hearing on Thursday. Now, I have a problem with us receiving an invitation to be in the Northwest on the 2nd and 3rd of May, and today is the 30th, the end of the month, and tomorrow is Workers' Day, and there are all sorts of other programs, and I think the notice is far too short, and I don't know what our instruction in this regard is, that it seems to be on them, off, on them, off, and makes it very difficult to plan.
Let me start with the first question. I think, Pago, you hit the nail on the head when you said we have the House Chair's permission to attend those provinces that would go about undertaking their own processes and programs. But let me go for the first question. The first question relates to what happened to that process. We applied. Normally, no committee goes anywhere here unless they apply. And I know that ordinary members also, like us, you go nowhere unless your chief whip agrees after you have requested leave. In this case, we applied. When we applied, we were then joined by four other committees that wanted to be part of the process because of the relatedness of their own issues in what we are undertaking. We were then told that we must apply together, collectively, rather than individually, because we wanted to apply individually. We were told we must apply together. We submitted the application with the course and everything to the first gate where we apply, the House Chair. And apparently the chairperson, the chief whip of the majority party, has to be consulted because it may affect the program of parliament. He disagreed with the four committees going. He said only one committee must go, this committee. That original plan we had says this committee must go. We went back to House Chair. House Chair, we were told that only one committee must go. Now, we submitted an application for everybody. How do we handle that? No, the chief whip is correct to consider this in view of the programs of parliament. But the programs of parliament were in the process of being negotiated with parties represented in parliament, so that there is a program for the whole parliament until the end of the budget vote in particular, I think. When it was reviewed, the program, they discovered that the dates we were applying for are not affected by the program of parliament. So we went back to say, now that the program is finalized and we are not affected, are you giving us a go ahead to do so? Last Thursday, we were told, yes, you can go ahead. Now the House Chair says, you can't say to people that you must go ahead on the Thursday when they have to travel on Sunday, because the Speaker must give go ahead on the use of the money for Parliament. There is no way 33 people from the committees would be allowed to go with a huge amount of money spent by Parliament without the Speaker giving a go ahead. Therefore, we have to make sure that the procedures are followed. Secondly, the Chief Whip's agreement does not mean anything to Parliament. Why? Because the Chief Whip must agree of the four committees after consulting with other parties. He can't do it. He's not running Parliament, he's running his own party and jointly with other parties, the programs of Parliament. Therefore, he must put what agreement is reaching here through the other parties, so that they then have agreed that their members will go and so on, because it affects everybody. So on Friday then we were told no, even though there's an agreement from the chief whip, you can't go, you can't spend the money, the speaker has not given a go ahead, the chief whip has not spoken to other parties, and therefore it must be postponed. This morning we were called by the House Chair. I was just telling us that process that she going to consult other parties has not started. And there's no way, therefore, we can go. the concession that we can be given is that if we get invitations by those provinces, we will going to go to, if they are ready to go and implement the program, we can submit a request to go. Yes, but we have an invitation already. Then go to your portfolio committee. If it agrees, then you can submit the request, you can go. But now, it is us only going back to square one. So that's why we put it here. We are saying the portfolio committee has a right to decide whether we go or not. The invitation here says this portfolio committee must consider attending that program in Northwest.
Wow. Thank you, Chair. I think the previous arrangement was better than this one, because you had about 3 days between from the date when we discussed the issue and the date of leaving. But this one, if you give us today to us, only 1 day, tomorrow is the holiday. And how can we expect us to give them the second and the third? I think the short notice and also the invitation, undated invitation, we don't know when this request was put to us. But I don't think we will be able to go. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's very much unfortunate, Honorable Chairperson. Very much unfortunate, because you know these bureaucratic processes of this parliament, they can be used at times just to buy place. And unfortunately, this is a very sensitive issue. This is the process we have to undertake. It's very much unfortunate that we cannot go there. If we don't go, it's very much because I fail to understand why you were not told this thing from the very word go, that the speaker has to approve this, the chief whip has to consult other parties. This was supposed to be this process they are normally following. If that is the case, they should have done this from the very word go. This is, you know, I don't know. Sabotage or what? I don't know.
I just think that it's impossible for us to work like this, and you've been put in an impossible position, that it's on then off and on then off. But really, at this kind of short notice, I can't support that we go to the Northwest on the second and the third, because we've been informed that the program was not happening, and I personally have got electoral colleges and all sorts of things set up over the next 3 days. I can't make it.
Thank you very much. Mama Wanyamabil, your final word.
Chairperson, I'm confused, like the people who are 100% confused in this issue. Because we started this program jointly with other committees, and this program started long ago, you know, hoping that all the processes that were supposed to be followed were followed. But because of the confusion that is in this institution, which at the end of the day confuses us all, I don't... I think I agree with other members that we can't attend to Northwest and excluding other committees, because also when looking at the program, I think it was supposed to be relevant for other committees to join us as well, placed initially. Now they are trying to split us. This committee can take a decision. What about other committees which were supposed to be part of this program? You know, I don't have a problem with the short notice, because we are aware of this, that this is going to happen, although there were these changes. But I'm worried about other committees, because we started this thing jointly with other committees. But now we have to go there as a single committee, leaving other committees behind, of which to meet the problem.
Okay, Tabula, the Funawa style of Guni's members, we agree, it's not of our own making. This thing has been imposed on us. by people who work according to their own time frames, not according to our time frames. I'm just worried about one element which we have not considered in this conversation. The people in Northwest, they themselves were not aware of the activities of the centenary until we briefed them. They made all the preparations for the second and third because we were going to go to Joburg and then to them. And now KZN has postponed theirs after they heard that we postponed to the 9th. So we have space there. But Northwest did not do that. They were ready for us. I want to suggest that the committee agree to send a delegation at least. That's the minimum we can do. So that their activities that they've laid out can be attended and addressed by members of this committee, even if we send just 3 members to go and attend them, rather than not attend at all. Especially because we have been given a go-ahead by both the House Chair and those people who are organizing the activities to participate there. And if we use this short notice positively rather than negatively. And I agree with you, Dr. Taban, that if the bureaucracy of the House is working against our program, let's find a way around it to contribute positively. If we electoral colleges to attend to Kululu JJ Ayo Banat Paya, so that CN Pass, your Zuma Salam Service or about. When you propose a lot of
I'm sitting with a problem with how initial I was available for the 2 days, 28, 29, or yesterday and today. I've got an appointment from province in my constituency, the ticket. And that's why I said I'm not available for the visit, the second and the third. So that's my problem.
I sympathize.
Chair, can I just make one comment?
I don't have a problem, Chair, if you can get a delegation to go and to honour and respect this program, because they too have also been prejudiced by this to-ing and fro-ing here in Parliament. But I look at this program, and unless the program's changed, your delegation that you'll put together has got no status on the program. There's no role to play other than to listen and the next day go and visit some land reform sites in the various 4 districts. But I see absolutely no role. I see there's one slot for the NCOP, permanent NCOP delegate, Honourable C. Miner, to talk about spatial planning and land use management bill. But otherwise, it's a provincial matter with provincial departments and the national department.
Like I said, Fagu, this is their program. They're inviting us to come and participate in their own program. If it was ours, like we originally planned, we would have created a program that's different from this one, which will make us play a leading role in their activities. But when they heard that we were postponed, they continued with their own program, but inviting us as a committee, because they understood that there will be 4 committees instead of 1. Now that we're postponing because of parliamentary bureaucracy, they're saying, please come and attend. They are not asking us to be speakers or anything. When it gets to the second part of the day, they would want to make those delegates part of the panel. So it's not entirely that we are spectators, but now I'm merely sympathizing with them that we started this process and initiated it, and now that they are ready to do it, we pull out. That's my biggest problem. If it was my family matter, I would have said, please, let me go and play golf. I have no reason to force myself upon people. But in this particular case, I sympathize with them. I still plead with the committee that we should send a delegation. If we can't send the full force, we can send even 2 or 3 people.
Okay.
paragraph manager commitment.
Yeah, no, chairperson, even though I have already made other arrangements back home, but I have to cancel those arrangements.
And go there?
Yeah, because really this is parliamentary work.
That's right.
And second and third is parliamentary working days. Those are not continuous days. I think we have to not forget that as well.
Oh, Mamungwa Nyimabe, we respect the independence of other committees, but they have a similar offer from the chair that if they we receive an invitation, they will consider it the same way as we consider it. So if, for instance, Public Works or COFTA or Arts and Culture are part of this invitation, they will consider it in the manner in which we do. We can't discuss now about them because the invitation is directly to rural development. It's not inviting all four committees, inviting one committee. We don't know whether they have got their own invite separate from ours. We have agreed in this committee that we have issues relating to the APP. The delegations from the department last week indicated that Mrs. Cowan and Dr. Swartz were specifically sent here to the committee to deal with specific issues and not with the matters arising from the APP. And that this particular delegation that's here today is here on the geomatics bill and nothing else. Now the department has indicated to us that they are not ready to deal with the operational plan. They would be willing to write back to us on the APP questions that we wanted to raise with them. We have agreed with them that we cannot extract out of them the questions. We should write them down and send them to them by the end of today. We have asked members to look at those matters that we dealt with in that APP and raise the concerns that they have. Let's compile them and send them to them. They will bring them back in writing next Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on which day we get from Parliament. I think that I should put to the committee, this is an opportunity to look at those matters. I'm sure your notes will still reflect that we did raise particular questions, even to Mr. Skawan, even to Dr. Swartz. We did. even though they were not able to give us answers, but unfortunately the chief is here. He will deal with the aspects that relate to his domain. I await the response of the members. What a princess. Who in the land of the place? I want to be good. To my mama's another, I could be the type of land to you. The Patel and the prince. The Patel and the land, and the chief whip for the palace. And so was the Pangalese, my Pangalese. No, are we foregoing the issues that we raised? Because, you see, let me explain why we want to deal with this matter, even though the department is not here. We have discovered, or maybe we have realized, that to talk about the budget in isolation from the capacity of the department, you remember that the department has consistently not been able to meet some targets. So we pass this budget by faith only if we know for a fact that the department does not possess the necessary capacities to carry out that budget to meet its target when we know they don't. We also ask the department, tell us, you have targets not met, but you have given certain sections of the department some bonuses. Tell us which are those sections that got bonuses so that we can see whether you gave, or you know what they call, what is that term called? No, there's a term they use when you comply just for the sake of complying. Malicious compliance. You can give bonuses because there's a budget for it. Even though the people don't deserve the bonuses because they could not even meet their targets. Now we said, tell us which are the branches or sections or individuals that got the bonuses, so that we can check against those that did not meet the targets, so that we can see. Remember, we are now saying capacity is a problem. We are saying you have given bonuses. We want to know what is the relationship between the bonuses and the targets. Now the third issue, we want to know whether, because you see, the DG is now saying, but those questions are questions of detail. Now how do we have confidence in the APP? Remember, this is a plan for implementation, isn't it? Now, tell us, how do we have a confidence in the implementation of that APP if the department blatantly has no capacity to implement it? How do we have confidence in this APP if the CPA law requires that we should receive every month, every year, an annual report of the performance of CPAs? And we don't get those. And then this money is going to go towards some of those CPAs. How do we do it? How do we have confidence? The commission, there's an Act of Parliament of 1994. I don't know Act number one, Act number 22 of 1994, that requires that the restitution of land claimed land rights must submit its report to Parliament. We received the report from the Commission only once, I think it was the early stages of the establishment of the department, when we had Tozi, Guanyan, and others, when they used to come with a lot of commissioners. No, I'm talking about the Commission report. The Commission report.
No, I'm talking about
I thought it was incorporated in the department of budget. Department of budget. Last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Come in the Kowleling Gavzia Kusela. Okay. We know now that the number of Narasek young people in the department is grown to 12,881. But we have not seen any strategy for their training, strategy for their deployment, strategy for their placement. We just get PowerPoint presentations, but we don't know what's going on. There is an annual shifting of funds in the department, either within the program or between programs. And we have complained three times in a row that your department goes to Treasury, Treasury agrees, and then we implement. And yet we pass the budget. You don't even consider that we are important in the shifting of the funds. We think there must be a problem here, which means there's no meaningful role that we play in passing the budget. We just go through the motions. We now know that you every year you say you are going to recapitalize X number of farms, isn't it? For instance, this year you didn't tell us how many farms you're going to recapitalize. And when we say the EPS farmer, you are saying, oh, that's a detailed issue. It will be in the operational plan. Pass it by faith now. They have given us in their plan X number of thousands of hectares to be acquired. When we ask the question, do you have in mind already specific farms that you want to acquire? Because you have given us a strict amount. You said this is the number of hectares. ZBS farm, that is a level of detail. You can get that in the operational plan. Go ahead and pass this thing in the house. If you go back to the APP, you will see that there's a 10-year security plan of the department, not plan, intention, on commercial farms and communal land. But when you look at the APP, there's no action plan to do it, because they say it will be in the operational plan. So what's the purpose of the APP then? If the APP means nothing, why do we bother to have an APP? Bring us an operational plan. The last issue relates to the CRDP on the 23 most poor districts. There's no plan for that. Even in the ABB, it is not there. Now, basically, I guess, what's our top fan now? As is it, 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 the 31st May, E.G., the Kotongo call. What do you get a mint? What do you have a strike debate on this budget is going to be on the 31st of May? And therefore, we must give them, must give ourselves and them the space to deal with these matters. So the finances are the game was by Nick, but in the game writing, since Father had read the good report here to the house. I put the question.
Chairperson, thanks. I think you gave us a comprehensive overview. I just want to reinforce one thing that you've said. What makes it really difficult to deal with the department when the department HOD is not here, neither the deputy minister nor the minister. I know Wednesdays are bad because it's cabinet day, but today is not Wednesday. Today is Tuesday. And there is absolutely no good reason why somebody in authority of the department can't be here to hear specific issues of concern. And I want to raise just a couple to add to what you've raised, Chair. When we had the PSC report to us last time, which I thought was a very good presentation, incidentally. They did talk about malicious compliance, as you said. And the thing that concerned me and them was that they do not assess progress on a value for money basis. They just assess it on a compliance basis. And apparently they said it's quite easy to change their assessment to do an assessment on value for money. Now, Chair, the CRDP is the flagship program of this department. And they give us figures about 3,058 households have been assisted with drinking water, and they've created 10,000 job opportunities with so many beneficiaries and enterprise development and all the rest. All the figures are there. And they, the cost of per household intervention has been really high, but the evaluation of what the impact of that intervention has been on householders has not been done. And I'd really like the department to give us a report on what the impact or the outcomes have been per household where the department has intervened on the CRDP. I ask this question specifically because I have received, and I'm sure all of us have received, feedback from those communities that have been identified, that yes, the department was here, yes, there were some chicken houses built and some pigsties built, and there were some but many of them are standing empty, or the roofs have blown off, or there are no more animals inside those styles. So what I'd like to see is the department giving us a report on outcomes of each household intervention. That's the first thing, Chair. But I think where the department really needs to give this committee some responses would be the concluding remarks on that PSC report. It says here, Chair, colonial and apartheid land disposition is the major underlying cause of poverty and inequality in South Africa. And then it says land reform cannot fail. Now that statement rings quite hollow if you look at the performance of this department over the last 18 and a half years. The fact that we should have reached a target of 30% of land reform and redistribution by next year and we've only reached 8% is an indictment on the department. Now I want to tell you, Chair, that when we're not sitting in Parliament, we are in our constituencies or we go to offices. I went to the East London offices of Land Affairs, Rural Development and Land Reform, still called Land Affairs, there, the offices. I go there often because I've been dealing with some issues with them, but it is an exercise of unbelievable frustration to go there. And you will see office-bound staff that are the cause for the fact that we've only reached 8% and not 30%. Not willing buyer, willing seller, not anything. And even the minister said 90% of our land reform projects have failed. Because Lamakos actually offset. And that's what the department must tell us. Why have they failed? What the real reasons of failure are? And why they spend so much money on recapitalization? And what is the outcome of that recapitalization of those farms? So, Chair, I would ask the representative of the department today to look at page 24 in the PSC's report and give us a report and a response to those bullets under the concluding remarks, because that essentially goes to the nub of what is not happening in the department. For example, it says, improvements have been made in respect to some of the values and principles, but serious concerns remain around the department's governance and management performance. That's where the fly is in the ointment, right there at the regional and provincial level, Chair. And all of those bullets there, I think, are salient points that we would like the department to give us a response on, that they can take responsibility for those responses. And then I think we can start really engaging the department.
You wonder what the planning is going to do to make sure that people combine all the functions of the community and then send them to the department to respond to us in writing.
And we will do so and send copies of the compilation into your electronic gadgets. So that you will by Tuesday next week or Wednesday next week, we have the responses from the department.
Mm-hmm.
While I agree with that proposal, but you must guard against making the department to combine the annual report for us, because there will be time for that. But all what we need to do to identify the issues that are in the APP and also that are related to the budget, be specific, because there will be time when we're going to deal with some other programs in detail where they're supposed to report to us during the time when they're supposed to submit the annual report. Because we'll request information where they will be expected to write the first annual report before the second annual report that they formally have to, that they have to submit to us around September. Thank you.
Ulandela la lento bendisithume yona bendithe masenze the issues on the AP sizawurayisa zona nazi bendizilifte up.
Ya kwela ukuvuthwa ndaba geomatics profession
bill sizobalisa when he was the first day he was addressing the crowd here at the train parade. He said, the last part of my life, I am handing it over into your hands. But he said, because by the obubomba, mushikle, mingele zandle mze. Asifuni uniniga obubomba ito mshikle, niniga nje mpacha.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, we have three issues that have been raised by the committee in the last meeting. However, I just want to state that I think there were comments around the presentation that was made with regards to presentations by Psegi, IMSA, PGISA, and SECPLAN. I think my team was advised just to put, you know, more flesh on the response. I think we've done that, but there are specific issues that we'll present today, mainly around the process of transformation, which will be presented by Mr. Gideon Horn, and the broadening of the definition of geomatics practitioners to specifically mention other disciplines, and representation of all disciplines in the council. So we'll deal with those three issues. I'm going to give the state law advisor to deal with transformation.
Thank you, Chair. I must just apologize. I wasn't aware that this meeting. I looked on the C list and I saw there was other information. I spoke with through Anne Isaacs, the parliamentary legal advisor, and she also said there was a meeting today. So, but we did look at the definition of transformation. Chair, it's I looked what I've done first is just to see whether there is such a definition on our statute, but there is not one. So I also looked at the spatial land use management, as you suggest. There's only one reference there that I think we can use, but I haven't drawn it up. I've discussed that with the parliamentary legal advisor. So it will be difficult. Let me put it this way. We cannot define transformation in clause 1 as other definitions, because the word is only used once in the bill, so that is contrary to drafting style. If the word is not used, definitions are used to either extend meaning or restrict meaning of the words, or where it's a long thing to define it. So we'll have to deal with it in the specific clause where the word transformation is used. And I took from the spatial land use management some words that I think we can work in there, but I need as I said, the parliamentary legal advisor wasn't aware that there's a meeting today, so we made an arrangement to meet later in the week to discuss the specific wording.
Say it in Kosa. When you say no, I'm going to interpret that one. First, I'm surprised that Ms. Isaac says she was not aware there's a meeting today, because the decision to have the meeting today was taken in that meeting where she was. Specifically,
yes, it's true, but technically. No, because we were not supposed to have this meeting today. We were supposed to be on the oversight, and then during the oversight we were going to have the meeting to deal only with the APP, which was urgent to us because the budget vote was going to be on the 8th. So we needed to finish up all the activities that leads to the report being drafted. Thank you.
Secretary of Committee came away and was tired. I want to go and go to Pandu. Because I'm just asking her to remind her own notes that we agreed in the last meeting. We are going to have a meeting, go back, draft all these matters that are left undrafted at the end, so that we then can have a meeting to talk about this thing. Ms. Isaac did nothing, no work, because she did not think this meeting was going to be held today. I'm not asking her to write for today. I'm saying go back and do the work and give it to us as a lawyer. She was going to draft it last night. How is that possible? She's meant to be assigned to us to help us do those things that we can't do ourselves. So I was free to do it ourselves now and leave you alone.
I beg your pardon. As I say, I spoke to her, I phoned her after I've done a lot of research to see where I can put it and how we can word it. And as she referred to Celis, there's no meeting. But
there's no meeting, don't worry, we'll do it when there's a meeting.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I had to go to another meeting this morning, so I have wording prepared, but I didn't bring it with me. But I will forward it to the clerk.
Now I'm talking to you now. I'm not talking to Ms. Isaac, who's not here. You knew you were supposed to do this work. They said in our presence, you will be preparing this definition. I even discussed with the minister regarding this issue, this definition that is not available from the government as a whole. Is it possible to talk about transformation and nobody is writing it down? Why are you guys shy to tell the world that transformation means this in terms of South African language? Why? Even on your day-to-day operations, Chief, I'm not talking about only for this bill. Transformation is a matter of debate everywhere in the country, and yet you have no definition.
Yes, Chief, it has never been defined in law, and I've read a...
waiting for the court.
No, Chief, that's another problem. I've read at the Bromfisher Memorial Lecture, Deputy Chief Justice referred to the word transformation, and he, in that lecture, alluded to how difficult it is to actually put it in words, the constitutional requirement. It would depend on a case-to-case situation on the specific legislation that the courts interpret. And the problem in this bill, as I said, the word is used only once, so a definition per se is not necessary. So if we want to say something about transformation, we have to think around us to put it in a different place and use a wording that will make sense in the bill.
Now, is it going to be correct for us to then leave it undefined and say to the council, you define for yourself what transformation will mean in your day-to-day operations? Is that what you would require from us? It will be in the rules of the council, not in the law.
Yes, and but we can work in. I've seen in the spatial land use management there is a specific wording that I think is better than the just the plain use of transformation in clause 2. So I think I would suggest that we maybe use that wording so that we place and in the principles an onus on the council to transform in terms of the constitutional transformation requirement.
Certainly now the councillors would be lawmakers, and the lawmakers are saying, no, we will not define. But it's the committee's decision. You are lawmakers.
Chairperson, I also don't agree that we have to leave this to the council. Otherwise, it will be problematic. I think we must give them time so that they can write to us as the committee and give us definition of this transformation.
The committee in agreement.
I will look in at that wording. And
you made us that promise last
time.
Don't make that promise now. Deliver.
Well, instead of just use the word transformation, we can say in the principle that the council.
Don't say now. Just put it right. Invite you. We'll debate it when you give it to us. Thank you very much. Chief, back to you.
Thanks, Chair. We'll also wait for this thing. Thank you, advisor, to give us that definition. The second the instruction task is the broadening of the definition of geomatics practitioner to specifically mention other disciplines. I'll give Mr. Salif to respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. The primary concern here was the exclusion of coming from the submissions of the various organizations that sent their submissions. The primary concern was that hydrographic surveying and photogrammetric surveying was excluded. There was no sight of it at all in the bill. When one inspects the definition of geomatics practitioner in the bill itself, in section 1, when we analyzed it, we found theoretically there was nothing wrong with that definition, except that there was a mention in B section, geomatics practitioner is defined in A and B. In the B part of it, the definition, there is the word branches. And then when you look at the definition of branches, a branch in section 1, hydrographic surveying and photogrammetric surveying is excluded. So what our approach here was that If that could be corrected, if the definition of branch could be corrected in the context of the submissions that we sent, to include hydrographic surveying and photogrammetric surveying, then this would give an expansive meaning to geomatics practitioner. And that is what we are proposing. That's the schedule that we've supplied has indicated that on page 6. If you look up on page 6 on the top, we say this concern is addressed by a proposal to expand the definition of branch in section 1 by the addition of the disciplines hydrographic surveying and photogrammetry after geospatial information science. We have actually given where it should be located in that definition. That will then give a substantiation in the definition of geomatics practitioner, as I said. Okay.
Omission, express mention of some and omission of others, all means immediately omission of the others or exclusion of those others unmentioned. Are we agreed? Thank you. Let's move.
Thank you, Chair. Are we moving to the next item?
Yes. You said you were addressing three, you dealt with two now.
Yes, the third one is the representation of all disciplines in the council. I'll first just do the explanation of, you know, how this profession is made up of, and then Mr. Salek will then deal with the proposals from the results. This is the illustration of branches in the geomatics profession bill, as defined in the bill. Chair, under the geomatics profession, you have voluntary organizations, you have branches, and the branches that we're having. First one is for land surveying, the second one is for engineering surveying, the third one is for mine surveying, the fourth one is geospatial information science. And under those branches, you have registration categories. Under land surveying, you'd have your professionals, your technologists, your technicians, and candidates for all the branches. This is in response to making sure that, you know, all disciplines are represented. and our argument is that these branches, at some point, these people belong to a particular voluntary organization. As it can be shown there, your land surveyors and engineering surveyors, they belong to one voluntary organization. And mine surveyors, one voluntary organization. And then geoinformation, one voluntary organization. This can be illustrated in this way. So you have SAGI, IMSA, and GISA. And in terms of the bill, for nominations of members of the council, it is specific to say that nominations will be requested to voluntary organizations. And that voluntary organization, whoever is nominated from the voluntary organization will be representing those branches, instead of being specific to say we want to make sure that we have a land surveyor, a professional land surveyor, a hydrographer must be represented, a photogrammetrist must be represented, engineering surveyor must be represented. So we were saying, if SEGIB nominates one or two people to the council, those people must represent the interest of everyone belonging to that voluntary organization. However, we have made a little, a compromise in increasing the numbers, so that at least the voluntary organizations that we are aware of that exist, they can, if they are responsible, they can, you know, make sure that they you know, they are represented, you know, equally, because the initial proposal was that we have four, not more than five members from voluntary organizations, and also we're specific to say that one of those members must be a professional land surveyor. We are removing that, because now we're leaving now the honors to the voluntary organizations.
Thank you. Honourable members, there was a concern raised in relation to this, that the law when established voluntary organizations in terms of the numerical representation in the profession will dominate others. When it gets to this, that is it not contradicting that thing?
Here, Chair, we're trying to level the playing field. In this format, to say we're increasing the number to six, not more than seven, so that SEGI, when they send their nomination, IMSA sending their nomination, it will be, I mean, we'll be actually giving them, you know, equal sort of opportunity. But whoever they choose to be their representative, it's up to them. They can choose a technologist to represent SEGI. They can choose a professional land surveyor. It's up to them. We don't want to dictate as to who should be there. That's why we're removing now the professional land surveyor. If you remember, Chair, the mine surveyors were complaining about that. So we're removing that. We're saying the onus is with you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think it's probably a good idea to increase the number to six with no more than seven, because if the nominations are going to come out of three different groupings as you've displayed there, technically one would expect that whoever accepts, and I'd like to know who would accept and make the final determination, that they would try and make sure, as you say, that the playing fields are level and that you'd have two from each, with possibly the third, the biggest one, possibly having the opportunity to get a third representative. I just need clarity on that and confirmation if my speculation is correct. I think it's probably a good idea to take away the definition that one of the people represented on the council must be a land surveyor, because I believe that that does go away to levelling the playing field. But I do also believe that professional land surveying or geomatics is probably all-encompassing, and that you can't have GISA and IMSA if you don't have SAGI practitioners. They're complementary professions or activities. So I need confirmation if that's what the thinking is behind increasing it to six with the possibility of seven, and who would make the final assessment of who would be accommodated on that council. The other issue, Chair, that did worry me a bit, and I don't know whether I should raise it now or later, but let me raise it now. Firstly, there appear to be a lot of professional rivalry at that presentation that we experienced last time. And I don't necessarily think that rivalry is a bad thing. But there was quite a lot of hostility between those three cylinders or three categories of practitioners that are essentially make up the whole geomatics profession.
And there was a lot of vested interest and a lot of turf mongering that took place in that committee, and I found the dynamics quite interesting there. You know, for example, the dynamic between GISA presenters saying that planning is their prerogative, and where land surveyors were saying, well, you can't have planning without proper surveying. So there was a lot of contention there. Which brings me to, and I've only been scanning through your document now on, in response to the presentations. I don't know necessarily, Chair, whether the responses are entirely helpful, because what we want to do is pass a piece of legislation that those three categories of people buy into and that they adopt it as their legislation. And some of the responses are quite curt, and you know, and I don't think they're entirely helpful to the people who made their submissions. Now, I don't know whether these submissions, this response has been given back to the people who made their submissions, because the last thing we want is we want to have this attitude that the practitioners believe that this is public service or public servant legislation that is excluding them. We actually want buy-in. We want them to say this is our legislation that defines our roles, and it's a framework within which we operate our profession. So I just want to know, are these our responses, or have they gone back to them? Because some of them are a little bit crisp.
Thanks, Honourable Member. The responses were responding to the Portfolio Committee. They presented to Portfolio Committee, and we then responded to give our response to Portfolio Committee, not to them. I think the onus is with the Portfolio Committee. On the issue of rivalry, I think it's not within this, it's with the planners. The group that arrived late. They are the ones which are not part of this. And the issue was around, I think the main issue was around the word planning, which land surveyors were saying, professionals from this group were saying, you cannot do your work without planning. And we have maintained that in our response. In terms of the final assessment of the nominees, I think it's the minister who nominates, I mean, who appoints. Nominations will be sent to the minister, and the minister will then make, you know, appointments.
Can I have a follow-up, Chair?
So would, if that's the case of the nomination, would it be possible then that one of the three could have five representatives and one representative from the other two? Could that be possible?
In your entity leveling of the playing field, is there a possibility that one of them could nominate the other two?
I think if we can insert, we were again, we'll seek advice, because we were afraid to be, what's the term, prescriptive and say at least, you know, two from this, two from that. We'll seek advice from the state law advisor, because if you put it that way, it's definitely going to be that way. But now, well, another challenge is currently we only have these three volunteer organizations belonging to this discipline. Now, what if, you know, another one comes? Sorry? No, the planners are not part of this.
But they might come in,
for example. Yes, you know. And then now you'd have to go now and change the legislation and say, you know, set plan, you know. So if you say just the number, and it's up to them, maybe we can work with them and say, make sure that, I don't know.
I think, and we need legal advice on this, but I think that we should really consider something like equitable representation on the council. It doesn't mean equal. It doesn't mean anything more than equitable would really be helpful, because then you can avoid having one dominating the others. So that we could, and maybe the legalese could find even a more appropriate term, but what we're seeking to is have equitable representation of the professional voluntary organizations on a council to make it effective.
Chairperson, I was going to suggest that what if it's one from each, at least one from each holder association.
We don't have Milan in Fagun also. This is the area I think advises that you don't prescribe definition, give it to the council to do it. Then he changes his mind and says he will look at the one that is looking in the flag as a going definition. You did say that the rules will be written by the council, and then the council will then publish those for comment, and then if the minister says you guys accept, then the council rules will be applicable. I'm happy with the suggestion by the two factors, because especially if you use the term equitable, and you don't have to list the voluntary organizations, just say equitable representation of the voluntary association in the council. It will be in their own rules where they then can specify based on those that are available in the market. Because if you write it in the law, you said yourself, the danger is that if a new voluntary, remember the constitution says freedom of association. So if you specify and then a new one comes up, when you are already restricted to this one, then you are creating a problem. So I think the equitable term on existing voluntary association and new ones. For instance, the president of one of them was saying they even are planning to have a youth desk. So they are already envisaging a situation where there will be exceptions even to the voluntary association. So the youth desk is not in a voluntary association. So leave it open and it will have all faculties now saying, but then when you say the Peter, you're saying that there should be no voluntary association that is not represented. Is there another matter that you want to know? Among the questions raised?
Chair, if you look at page 5 of our, at the bottom of page 5 of our submission, the schedule, we're giving a little bit of a substantiation to what we've just discussed, addressing specifically the concern from the various submissions that came in concerning the exclusion of some of the branches. And we are proposing that we add, after having stated the numbers and the equitable part that you've just discussed, we should add to that sentence, in the branches of geospatial information science, mine surveying, and any other surveying discipline, and we group that together, including land topographical engineering, hydrographic and photogrammetric, so that there was a concern that they were not mentioned. So this would also maybe give credence to that argument. Again.
Section 4.1b.2, substitute 4 by 5 and 5 by 6.
Yes, that should be corrected.
It should be corrected.
Yeah, in view of what we've just discussed, yes.
Yeah.
It should be 6 and 7, yes. Yes, Chair. Well, now that actually fully addresses the concerns. We have revisited the document and there are minor syntax errors and things like that which I'm not going to mention. They are actually indicated in there. But if you look at page 12 of the Act, which is section 13, that we in particular, there appears to be an error. If you look at section 13.2a, and it says a person may not practice in or perform any work, whether for reward or otherwise, which is reserved for any of the categories or branches. Now that is you cannot have that. They're not synonymous. A category and a branch is not synonymous. So it is category that is a correct word that should be used there, but the or branches should be deleted. In view of what we've presented to show the hierarchy and how it is actually set up, branches are the various disciplines. Categories are whether it's a technician, technologist, professional, or candidate. So, as I say, they're not synonymous. And we are proposing that all branches should be deleted.
Is it addressing the exclusion of registration of geomatics technicians, technologists, and professionals, or is it removal of job reservation, like the issue they were concerned about competencies, because there was an indication that those professions that are well established that were performing functions beyond their qualification. We're being excluded now. Is that what you're dealing with?
Not specifically, no. I think this is more about solidifying the context of that section. Otherwise, if the word branches are in there, it's going to lead to I would say exploitation of the legal side, because category cannot be a branch. If you say all branches, it's just not correct.
But let me again raise the question. Are you really using job reservation?
I don't think that was the intention.
That gentleman was raising the question that a rich man can establish a firm of, say, land surveyors, and then under the land surveyors employ other people. He himself would not necessarily sign on any work. It will be a professional person registered that will be doing so. If he runs bankrupt, the insurance will be covered only by those. But then, because they're working for him, why would you burden this professional to take responsibility for this insurance, although they were doing it for them? They were not doing it themselves, they were doing it for the employer. They asked the question, if you live in that way, you may be creating a problem of exploitation of these professions by the business people.
Chair, I'll take your point there, but if you look at the context of what is meant here, this is about saying that you cannot do work for which you are not registered. That's basically it.
That's right.
Right.
Where is the point that they were making in relation to this thing corrected? In which part of the deal?
I think I'll have to look for the page, but we had actually given the solution in the last submission. We said in the particular discipline. I think, if you just give me a minute, I'll locate it. We had corrected it.
What remains to be done is for us to confer with the state law advisors and the parliamentary law advisors, so that we clean up this bill to the position and condition that will be acceptable in law, and thereafter we will come back and look at the final report. And once we've done that, then we'll give it back to you to check. Yes, you found it?
No. I'm raising another issue, but okay.
While he's still looking there, the other comment before we go to tidying up the bill, as you said, on page 42 in the response or submission, it says here a definition of transformation has, however, now been inserted in section 1.
They truly believe the amendment.
All right, and then can we just talk about that amendment to section 36.7?
Yes, that's
so we understand it.
Chair, that was what I was actually going to go on to. Okay, I need to explain this circumstance. If you look at the existing legislation, it is about the registration of people belonging to the surveying fraternity only. Act 40 of 1984 is the actual act which the present council performs under, which is governs the registration and working of surveyors. Now, over the years, the GIS fraternity had approached the surveying fraternity to say that they didn't have any legislation governing their work, and basically the surveying council embraced them and registered them with the council. I'm just giving you an overview of what is the status quo. Now, when one looks at section 36, it is about transitional provisions. And if you read through section 36, it specifically refers to the Surveyors Act, which is Act 40 of 1984. Now, there is going to be a loophole in there in terms of the persons who have been registered by the council, and how does one give continuity to their registration in the bill, because it's not catered for. In my understanding, it's not catered for. So we are proposing an amendment to the bill that will cater for that that sector.
It is a proposal, Chair, but I think what we wanted to inform the committee is that GISA raised this issue, knowing very well that the existing legislation doesn't cater for them. So they were accommodated, you know, because we're operating in the same space.
They were accommodated in that council without them.
Without legislation.
Now you're giving them
legislation. Exactly. So, but now they want a transition. Yes, to have a home.
So, Chair, can I just give you the particular proposal that we made? Right. We are proposing an amendment. If you look at page 42 of the schedule, it's actually spelled out there, but I'll read it. The amendment is to section 36.7, and if you read that, we are saying that it should read, section 36.7 should read, to accommodate this sector, from the effective date, any register, and then the addition is there and underlined, other than mentioned in subsection 3 herein. And if you look at subsection 3, it caters for surveyors. Maintained by the South African Council for Professional and Technical Surveyors, that is the current council. Or, in terms of the Surveyors Act, is incorporated in terms and forms part of the registers to be maintained in terms of section 81B2 of this Act. So it gives that, it gives an enabling environment for the transition of that registered sector. Yes. Otherwise, they're going to have to apply to the new council for legislation, which, our understanding, would not be fair.
Okay. Just for clarity, for my sake, to read from the effective date any register other than mentioned in subsection 3. Is that 36.3? 36.3.
Yes, because it says subsection 3 herein.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, that's it,
Chair. Honourable members, there are submissions.
Chair, can I just ask for a layman's...
I was going to echo what Ufagu in front of me has said, that this must be sent to this Golden Association member put this question. They mustn't forget that. Yes, yes.
Because we made them a promise, you remember? We said what we're rejecting and what we're accepting will be put to them in writing. So that if they propose, whether they consult their own lawyers or anything, we'll bring them back to you so that what we agree to will be a final product agreed by all parties.
Chair, just in layman's terms, I understand that the Act 40 of 1984 and the provisions of 36 subsection 3 are quite narrow and definitive about surveyors. Can I just get an explanation by what you intend to do by saying from the effective date, any register other than that mentioned in subsection 3 herein, maintained by the South African Council for Professional, Technical and Surveyors, or in terms of the Surveyors Act, is incorporated in terms and forms part of the registers to be maintained. What are you making provision for?
I think the intention there from our part was that we did not want to alter the existing meaning of section 36.7. We wanted to make this insertion accommodated in that particular clause, because there is an existing clause in 36.7 which we are not deleting. We just expanding provisions in that section. We're giving this concern a home in that particular part of that section.
To accommodate who and to accommodate what concern? I just want to get that clear in my mind.
Well, we are accommodating, as we explained, the sector of registered persons that are controlled by the current council, who are not surveyors.
The GISA, the GISI.
I have said have accommodated all the issues and the continuous concerns.
We will then take those matters and put it to them. This is our judgment. Are you happy and comfortable that if we can send them your submission? for them to comment on. Because it's not a private document. If they were sitting here listening, they would have had a copy of it.
Yes, no, we comfortable, we just have to, because we don't have the definition of transformation.
Yes.
And
we
have to wait for that. And some, I think the changes of the members of the council, the issue of equitable representation, etc., etc.
Let's
clear those parts and then set. Yes.
Yes. Which is the outcome of this meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. By when? By next Tuesday? We're meeting next Tuesday.
Okay, by next week Tuesday. Thank you.
Now, for the record, so that nobody says that I was told differently. The next sitting of this committee is on the 8th, because there's a sitting of the House. We will meet here in the morning and go to the House in the afternoon. Just for the record, so that nobody will tell you, you didn't tell me there's a meeting. I'm referring to my learned friend. Lalini noba ukho bonke. No, don't let me know about the work.
I say, but the police one target state department, but I lay into my funeral launch la block of Uncle Total Boma Wounded next week Friday. So, one fucking time I need to say,
right, next week Friday, Amber.
These are flyers from the house who are Guyo, a Houdin, a Kulsemo Duin, it's a Northwest, a Gulalis, we are Lal, Ubuya, Umfagulan, then I go to the monkey. That's fully more doing a blood. It's where we look down the monkey. Second and third monkeys, the days, and all right, now the context of the Bamba. Kuwa monkeys, Kungwa Yamabis, and Babundapan.
Now,
so, do you want a county? Could you see me?
I'm going to go to the Friday. Where could
you Friday? Oh, you're going
to go to the Friday. Friday.
Let document it is second and third. It's second, no school. It's third, no school. We are going to go to
the Friday. I'm going to go to the Friday. I'm going to go to the Friday.
Okay, Ubu, you're going to join them with the
start.
Okay.
But I'll see.
Something good.
I'm not going to have okay. It's just so bad. Listen, the doctor of Pumuk, Obsu.
Ebsu.
Quelle, the six.
Ucho, Naya, O Landiga, Ucha person of agriculture, Utiana, Une Dinga, the minister of agriculture, Pai, who we said, Exane. So, was that? Uyafana nawo
bophelele ngolesini endikhona
ndigqibile ukubophelela nkosi yam hayi ke sikwa liqela nguwe nkosi yam faku kwenye mabila uxwaba bendima mhlambeni nkosi ke uthe yena akwazi nojenjaka akwazi nofaku empondweni alikwazi siyahamba baxelela abantwana babantu basiyeza the meeting is adjourned until next Wednesday. South Divana and Northwest.